And welcome back to the Livingston Parish News Weekly Show, a podcast brought to you by the Livingston Parish News. My name is McHugh David, publisher and editor of news, and this is Around Livingston. It's where I sit down with this gentleman here, and we talk about, shocker, what's going on around Livingston. So I'm going to give him a chance to introduce himself. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. This is David Gray, news writer with the Livingston Parish News.
And also a lifestyle editor. The man wears a couple of hats around here, and sometimes he even fills in as a photographer. Does a pretty good job with that, too. So we got plenty to talk about today. First and foremost, we have some resolution to the Dakota Terrio situation. Of course, from several years ago, a young man I hate to use the word spree, but that's about what it was.
Rampage, spree, whichever one you want to use.
Killed his girlfriend and a couple of her family members in the Walker area, and then drove to Gonzales and killed his parents. And then was eventually apprehended in Virginia based on a tip that he would flee to his grandmother's house, which he did. So tell us, you were there for that hearing.
Yes.
So tell us, fill in any gaps I might have missed background, and then what came of it.
That's pretty much the background of it. He was 21 at the time of the killings. This was in January 2019, and I kind of remember, that was before I was a news writer, and but I do remember that was like for, good 24-hour period, that was the topic going on. You hear about this killer, especially in Livingston Parish, which that's something that District Attorney Scott Perilou mentioned after the hearing last week, that, this type of thing doesn't really happen in Livingston Parish. Very rare for not only for there to be any murder, but, murder like this. Like you said, Dakota Terrio killed his girlfriend, her father, and her brother in their trailer just outside of Walker, and then drove to Gonzales, where he killed his parents in their home, then fled to Virginia. And so this has been in the system for 4 years now, and basically the resolution was he pleaded guilty to all five murders last Wednesday, to the three in Livingston Parish and the two in Ascension Parish, and he was given a life sentence for each of those crimes. So five life sentences would be served concurrently, and the plea deal basically was that he avoided the death penalty. This is a capital case, and that's kind of the reason what took so long. I mean, like we said, 4 years from the time the crimes were committed till, a resolution came about. And this, one reason Scott Perilou says, because capital cases just take time. They take, there's a lot of litigation. He said endless litigation. That was the quote involved around these cases. And then COVID, that also played that was a real big roadblock for a while. I believe it delayed it by a year and a half or 2 years. So that was one. And then the other part of it was the question of Mr. Terrio's sanity. That was part of what took so long, because they were trying to see if he was even competent to stand trial. So, I mean, you had a lot of factors that went into this delay, but in the end, he pleaded guilty to those five murders, and the plea agreement was done with the family's blessing of the Livingston Parish family, the Ernest family. They were at the courthouse that day, at the Livingston Parish courthouse, when he was speaking before Judge Brenda Ricks. And you could just kind of hear that they were relieved that it was finally over with. That was the word that I think got thrown around a lot, was they just felt relief that this was now behind them and they could actually move on with their lives and not, wait for another phone call from the DA's office saying what was the latest, what the latest thing was. So they gave their blessing to this, and Mr. Terrio, like you said, will be spending the rest of his life in prison.
Sure. And it's always interesting, a lot of people would say, why does this family, why do they feel closure? And as you talked through that, you kind of brought it up, COVID happened, which delayed it. Putting together information and evidence for a capital case is always difficult. They had to test his sanity. How many times could this have taken just a hard left turn? Yeah. A lot of times when you get into cases like this, when they cross the finish line, there is relief, because you just never know. And a lot of times your district attorney is going to tell you that, we're going to work this and we're going to do the best we can. So Thank you for keeping on top of that. And of course, you went to the hearing, and that was the result. So we are putting, or the parish is putting, Dakota Terrio behind them as he will spend the rest of his life in prison. We have, I spoke with Rob earlier, and we talked all about coaching carousels. Well, we have political announcement carousels on your side. So big focus right now. Of course, we have some parish president candidates that are starting to come out, state representative candidates, and the governor continues to be, you know, who's going to be next. So let's start with parish president.
Yeah, we had a candidate officially launch a campaign last week, Mr. Jeff Ard, the councilman for District 1. And this year he served as the chairman of the Livingston Parish Council. Well, this past year, excuse me. He served as chairman of the Livingston Parish Council. He announced his candidacy. And then this comes after Mr. Layton Ricks. We broke that story last year that he announced he's not going to seek a fourth term in office. He had always said three terms was going to be his max, and that's what he kept it at. And so Mr. Jeff Ard, I spoke with him earlier about this, and he kind of said he wanted to, because, you know, you kind of want to get these messages out there as soon as possible just to let people know that you are running for a particular office. And he and the other candidate who also announced his candidacy on Facebook, they both said that, you know, that out of respect to Mr. Ricks, they wanted to let him announce first that he was not going to be running, and then they would announce there. So, like I said, Jeff Ard, he announced his. He issued a statement last week announcing that. And we have one other candidate, Mr. Randy DeLatte of District 9. He hasn't released his statement or anything yet, but he has activated his Randy DeLatte, Parish President, Facebook page, and I actually spoke with him this morning. He should be releasing, you know, his official statement soon. But so we have a two-horse race now for Parish President, and both are on the Livingston Parish Council, and both represent different sides of the parish. So it will be interesting to see kind of how those parish dynamics play out. But yeah, as of right now, we have two candidates in the race for Parish President.
So going to be interesting to see how that plays out, and if anybody else jumps in the race. Of course, towards the end of last year, it was looking like it was going to be those two.
Yeah.
And then, with Layton formally announcing that he was not going to run again, it looks like that's how it's going to play out.
Yeah, we all knew it. We just, you know, you have to wait for them to make the announcement themselves. You never want to jump the gun, especially with people that you work with. You want to make sure that they can get out whatever messaging they want to, and then you react to it.
Sure. Sure, when it comes to political announcements, absolutely. Moving into the area of state representative, it does look like we're going to have a multi-person race as Ms. Valerie Hodges, who represents the Watson area, is term limited. So she will be running against Buddy Mincy for the Senate seat that will be vacated by Senator Rogers Pope as he is going to retire at the end of this particular year. So I know that we have received an announcement from Mr. Frog Talbert, also a current parish councilman.
Yeah, Gary Talbert represents the Watson area on the Livingston Parish Council, and he made that announcement just today. I know I saw that he posted something on his Facebook page saying that he was running for the House of Representatives, and that's the Watson and Central area.
Parts of Central, yeah, not parts much, of Central, but some.
So, and that's, you know, Mr. Talbert, he is as Watson, I guess, as they come, you could say. He's always touting Watson. But yeah, so he made that announcement this morning. So he's going to be moving from the local level of politics and trying to move to a more statewide, or to a statewide position, not a more statewide position. But yeah, so that was the announcement that we had earlier this morning.
Sure. And then let's not forget the governor's race.
Yeah.
That has been just a very interesting and sort of up and down. We have already discussed that Senator John Kennedy has announced that he's not getting into it. Bill Cassidy said the same. But since then, we've had some developments, including some people who have decided not to run,
yes,
and some people who have. So walk us through that.
So yeah, so as of the first person announced, we all know, was Attorney General Jeff Landry. He made that announcement last October, I think it was. So we kind of been waiting around. Then Bill Cassidy announced in November that he was not running. And then the big one was John Kennedy, whether or not he was going to run. He announced that he was not going to run. earlier this month. And so that opened the door for other candidates. John Schroeder, state treasurer, he announced that he will run. He took over the treasurer's position after John Kennedy was elected to U.S. Senate. So he announced that he was going to run. And then kind of a shocker was Billy Nungesser, the lieutenant governor. He, you know, for months he had kind of been hinting that he was running for governor. And I know on a few occasions he said he was running for governor. I actually attended one occasion where someone asked him that, and he did say, yes, he was running, but he wasn't trying to publicize it at the moment. So he has, you know, said that he was running for governor, but then kind of decided to back out of the race. So he is no longer a candidate for that. He said he would instead seek re-election. He said he had a lot of unfinished business left to do in the tourism's office, still recovering from COVID-19, the hit that the state took during that time, or specifically the tourism industry. So he said he had a lot of unfinished business and wanted to turn his attention to that instead. So that is, Senator Sharon Hewitt, she announced last Friday was that she was running for governor. So that's kind of, so the governor's race is now starting to kind of shake up a little bit. You have three well-known candidates. And there's one business owner, I can't remember his name, in the Lake Charles area, I believe, who announced that he was running also.
So going to be interesting. And recently someone asked Congressman Garrett Graves if he would, and he seems to have left the door open, but no confirmation yet.
And then we'll start hearing about parish council position soon.
No, I'm sure. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of, it's going to be a very, very interesting statewide and local election cycle.
Yeah.
For this year, going to be very, very heated. Getting into just some, it seems like after everything we've talked about, it's been kind of boring. But some unfortunate news from the clerk's office. They did have a hacking issue. Tell us a little bit about what happened.
Yeah, this happened shortly after, I believe Christmas afternoon is when Jason Harris Court got a message about a possible hack. And then 2 days later, the third party vendor who holds all the data for the clerk's office, COT system, that's the name. COT Systems, they sent a notification to all the clerk's offices that they work with. There's about 24 in Louisiana and 400 across the country that there was a cyber attack. And since then, the FBI and Homeland Security got involved. They were told that all of the clerk's offices were told that all of the data was safe. So as of right now, the last I checked, there wasn't really no one knew why these attackers hacked. But so that's the big news, that everyone's data is safe. But the reason why this became a story is because it's kind of slowed down operations at the clerk's office specifically when it deals with land records. Those files have been hard to access right now, and a lot of times they're having to access them manually. And if things have been done through the e-filing or e-recording that a lot of people do online, they weren't able to do that. So unless you had some like paper documents, old school, they said, it's kind of hard to be able to have those records from basically Christmas Day until the last few couple of days. So right now, Jason Harris said that if you have any issues, especially with land records, to still call his office. They're still working. They're working extra time to make sure that people's records get filed on time. And so just call the office if you have any questions.
Thank you for that update. And last but certainly not least, we learned last Thursday who is going to be chairing the Livingston Parish Council, and came without a whole lot of fanfare. So who is it?
John Wascom. Yes, he is. He is one of the councilmen who represents the Denham Springs area. He was elected chairman, and his co-chairman is Randy DeLatte, like we mentioned earlier, District 9, who is also going to be running for parish president this year. So those are your two chairman and co-chairman for 2023.
So going to be keeping an eye on the parish council as we move into an interesting session here, because you got a couple of guys who are running for other seats, so probably some people running for their seats. Going to be an interesting year this year, especially since we've gotten a few districts that have actually applied zoning maps, correct?
Yes, there's a few.
A few.
I can't remember.
I believe it's 1, 7, and 9.
Yes. Yes, and they were another one was tabled last Friday or last Thursday, excuse me. So yeah, I mean, and that's kind of the thing that's going on. You know, they'll bring them up and then they might table them. You know, so this is a very, as Tracy Gronhouse has said, councilman for District 7, this very fluid ordeal. It's never going to be done.
Sure. So going to be interesting to follow that progress as we move into 2023. Well, thank you, sir. We appreciate you for joining us. Introduce yourself, please.
Hey, this is David Gray, news writer with Livingston Parish News.
And my name is McHugh David, publisher and editor of the news. Appreciate you guys out there for joining us for the Livingston Parish News Weekly Show. Please remember the news is on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, and YouTube. We are once a week in print on Thursdays at $7 a month to get that in your mailbox. We're also online, www.livingstonparishnews.com. We hope you have a great day, and we'll see you next time.